Blog Talk Radio.
Saturday night, you're listening to Bad Company with Gray Eyes Smith. This show is brought to you by a group on allpoetry.com called Late Night Poets. And we have anthologies available from filled with poetry from poets around the world, available on Amazon.com under the same name, Late Night Poets. So please check those out and help support the arts. Tonight's show is based on a contest that Lee Wildove and myself ran, and it was called Your Most Humorous Poem of 2022. And so that's what tonight's show is based on, some humor. So I'm going to post the first link into the group here. There we go. And this is by Doc Frank, and it's called How Are Tires and 350 Condoms Different? How are tires and 300 condoms different? No, it's not. Both are made of rubbers. Tires are a good year, but 350 condoms are a great year. Yeah, I'd say. That makes for a great poem as well. Quick, a little brevity. Forthright and in your face. And I thought it was beautifully done. Rather surprising from Doc Frank, but a good one nonetheless. All right, I'm going to check the studio here. And it looks like it's just me. Oh, no, here we go. We got Pam. Hi, Pam.
Hey, Gray. How's it going?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Well, all in all, I'd say I'm doing pretty good. Looking forward to hanging out with you and, you know, well, to the, you know, enjoying the humorous poetry, so.
Absolutely. Did you get a chance to hear that read?
I didn't get to hear it, but I'm taking a look at it. And, yes, Doc Frank certainly does humorous brevities quite well. I like a good punchline joke brevity, you know. This is just great. I mean, it's a classic joke. It's just on the edge of being naughty, but not too much so. You know what I mean? And it's just a really great punchline and very well done.
Absolutely. Thank you, Pam. I appreciate that. Okay, so I'm going to grab another one here. I'll post this up, and if you wouldn't mind when you see it, please, Pam.
Absolutely, I'd be happy to. All right. Caught in the Act by Serious Clown, and it goes like this. I came home late one evening. My wife was at the door. She quickly took me upstairs. I wondered what was in store. She asked me to take all her clothes off. I did, of course, but then she said, don't ever let me catch you wearing them again.
That's hilarious. Too funny. You know, he comes home, wonders what's going on with his wife. And she takes him upstairs and tells him to take off her clothes. And he does. And she tells him never to wear them again. Too funny. That was a great little brevity as well. Thank you for reading up, Pam. It was a good job. Would you like to say anything about the poem, Pam?
Oh, absolutely. Again, just wonderful humor. I loved how the first, like, few lines set things up, and then the last line really just offers up that punch of humor. So, excellent write. Very well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Pam. Okay, I'm going to bring on another caller here. Area code 443, who's calling, please?
This is Martha.
Hi, Martha. How are you?
Hey, Martha.
I'm doing good.
That's great. Welcome to the show.
And, thank you.
Okay, so, yeah, I appreciate that. So I'm going to grab the next right, and if you wouldn't mind, please, when you see it, Martha?
Sure. Oh, I don't see it.
Okay. No, just a second here. Okay, posting it now. There you go.
Okay. Of Love and Space. She dreams a voyage beyond her star, and he's staring off in space. She's dad is mine and Tazra Yar, while he's Picard with Rocker's face. She paints in color, wind and sail. His words are rhythm and with a rhyme. She animates a future tale. He sings about a coming time. While they can dream a voyage space and boldly go as love before, in search of worlds still left to face, where future blasts forevermore, beyond days of war and thunder, of star-eyed distance absolute, as endless space for whim and wonder. And such a galaxy it is, a starship hers, a starship his, in voyage or in enterprise, as the stars are hers and in his eyes. Space is cyber-colored, canvas mine, I brush for ways to fascinate, in riddles to assimilate, one and two are one, for journey's end has just begun. Imagine someone changed the game, and love is never quite the same, and if we fail to understand, a blacker hole might know the plan, when beam is sent to bring us home, so we might never be alone. She dreams a voyage to the star, and he's staring off in space. She's Data's mind and tossing the card with Riker's face. End poem.
Beautiful read. And, you know, this is a delightful little poem, a little parody of Spaceship Enterprise and Star Trek and all that. I really liked it. It's imaginative. It's loving and devote, and just a beautiful pen. What did you think, Pam?
I enjoyed this, and I think delightful is the right word to describe it. I liked that if you are a fan of Star Trek, The Next Generation, you're going to like this poem. And if you're not a fan or you've never watched it, you're still going to like this poem. I think there's something for everyone in here. And I like how one of the best things about doing a humor contest or humor show is the fact that you can discover different styles of humor. And with here, I think it's more subtle, but it works really well because it's the kind of delightful humor that offers up, you know, a smile. And what I think makes it very relatable is it's a poem about two people who are so completely different and yet somehow make a relationship work. And that's something that makes you smile. So very well done.
Absolutely wonderful comment. Thank you, Pam. And Martha, what are your thoughts? Hello, Martha. It says she's still
Are you
here.
On mute, Martha? Hi.
Yeah, I was.
Oh, okay.
I really like the references to Star Trek, and the way it read was really nice, and I just love the way it flows, and it has a great message to it.
Great comment. Thank you, Martha. Okay, I'm going to post the next link, and I will give this a read. Here we go. This is called Ivory Pioneers by Just Old Me. I am an ivory pioneer who treks through foreign hills, my path unknown, a new frontier with pain and drool that spills. Through bloody jungle veiled within the cliffs below your snout, we chisel pulsing vines built in the slow, uncharted route. Whiskey slightly helps our cause while craving to uncheese. We're greeted with a firm applause. It's us, your baby teeth. Without us, diets stop at milk, and fish are for a bear. So have respect for ivory ilk that cut to show they care. I liked it. you know, the personification of Baby Keith and all of that jazz is wonderful. I really liked his humor attempt. Using whiskey to numb teething pain has been used in past generations. I'm not encouraging the practice. Yeah. But, you know, that's a horrible time to go through when children are teething. You know, I think it's a very trying time for sure. And I thought he captured that beautifully in this poem. What did you think, Pam?
I did enjoy this. And it's, again, a relatable humor to anyone who has had kids or been through near a child who's teething. It's a frustrating time for both parent and child. And I like how he turns this into a mock battle, a warrior facing, you know, their greatest enemy. I thought that was really cool. And I did like the reference to the whiskey slightly helps our cause while craving to unsheathe. We're greeted with a firm applause. It's us, your baby teeth. And yes, that was definitely a well-known practice back in the day when you just rubbed a little whiskey on the gums and, you know, then I don't know what you did for the baby, but, you know, whiskey on the gums worked for me, so. And, but this is, yeah, just absolutely a clever write and very well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Pam. And Martha, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I really liked it. At first, I couldn't figure out what he was trying to say, but at the end, it was really great. I really thought it was really well done and a great thing to write a poem about.
Absolutely, yeah. You got to work with what life gives you, hey? Absolutely. Okay, I'm going to post the next link, if you wouldn't mind, please, Pam.
Absolutely, I'd be happy to. And let me get back there, and here we go. All right. Jitters, Twitters by Patterson Mooney. And it goes like this. Nervous bride had wedding jitters. Her parents were heavy hitters. Her groom, genuine committer. Help, she twitters. All wedding plans were finalized. I don't want to, I realize. Folks wanted it actualized. All were surprised. When I told them it was so done, I heard it from everyone. The first dry run, that wasn't fun. Out of the church I ran like hell. Into the limousine I fell. Soon as I heard the noon church bell, drive on, Verdell. Sure, I was a runaway bride, kept my anxiety inside. I was sick of all diatribes. Viewpoints collide. Finally free again at last, broad smiles upon my face cast. I'd chosen to forget my past. All were aghast. Because I had wedding jitters and I resorted to Twitter, I became healthy and fitter. I feel chipper. End poem.
Beautiful read, Pam. And, you know, this is a light and lovely poem. You know, it speaks to somebody getting the jitters and running from their marriage the day of and all that goes along with that. And I thought it was just a beautiful write, beautifully expressed. And then because I had wedding jitters, I resorted to Twitter. I became healthy and fitter. I feel chipper. Yeah, well, that's what needed to be done, so you did it, and you should be proud. So, what did you think, Martha? Hello, Martha? Hello, Martha, let me see if
you can. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Okay, my phone gets on the wrong screen sometimes. I really liked the rhythm of it and the flow. I thought it was great, and I especially liked the message that If it doesn't work for you, it doesn't work for you, and the best thing you can do is get away.
Absolutely, yeah. Thank you, Martha. Great comment.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to welcome Bobby to the show. Just one sec here. Hello, is that you, Bobby?
It is. Good evening.
Good evening. Thank you for calling in.
Oh, you bet.
And did you get a chance to hear Pam Reed?
I did not, and more's the pity because I love the picture on the piece. It looks like
Yeah. Looks
like something off of Broadway.
Right. Thank you, Bobby. And Pam, what did you think of the poem?
I really enjoyed this. I think Patterson Mooney is a great rhyming poet. You know, it's interesting and amusing to me how the choice of form can make all the difference because, you know, monotetra, first of all, is one of my favorite forms as far as humor goes. It really has a kind of repetitive flow that works well for humor. Because because somebody getting wedding jitters and running away can actually be taken as a very serious subject, but it's made more lighthearted by the choice of form. I really liked Finally Free Again at Last, Brought Smiles Upon My Face Cast, and then at the end, I became healthier and fitter. I feel chipper. It's like there's some health benefits to being a runaway bride. So I thought that was very clever and very well done.
Wonderful comment, Pam. Thank you. Okay, so I'm going to post the next one, if you wouldn't mind, please, Martha.
Okay, sure. I'll pocket my bags. I opened my front door. There stood a herd of alpacas. I felt like I was going mad, or certainly slightly crockers. And swiftly as I stared upon the unsettling whole drama, they were joined by none other than a dozen staring llamas. Oh, my dear, this was odd. I doubt I'd ever sleep. Then sure enough, with a little puff, came 20 bloody sheep. For fuck's sake, I thought, this is making me so blue. Then I heard a familiar noise of cattle and a moo. This was weird. This was strange. Animals everywhere. Next, a deer, a kangaroo, a camel, and a hare. An aardvark and an elephant. And then some meandering stags. I decided to escape this nightmare. I said, I'll pack my bags. I handed the key over to them and ran off all distressed and sweaty to live blissfully in the mountains. Oh, no, here comes a Yeti.
That was a beautiful read, Martha. Very humorous. And, you brought it to life with your read, so... That was just a beautiful poem. You know, you can picture all this as it's happening. He opened his front door, and there stood a herd of alpacas. I felt he was going mad, and certainly slightly crackers. And this is weird. This was strange. Animals everywhere. Next, a deer, a kangaroo, a camel, and a hare. He handed the keys over to them and ran off, all distressed and sweaty, to live blissfully in the mountains. Oh, no, here comes a Yeti. Yeah, it seems like he's destined to have strange things popping up on his doorstep. So that was a wonderful write. Excellent read. What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, great read there, Martha. Yeah, again, another fun and clever write. You're getting a lot of just top-notch poetry tonight. I'm trying to... choose a favorite part. First of all, alpacas are just absolutely adorable animals, and "Oh my dear, this was odd. I doubt I'd ever sleep." And sure enough, with a little puff came 20 bloody sheep. "For flock's sake." Now that was a fun play on words. I thought, "This is making me so blue." And then I heard a familiar noise of cattle and a moo. You know, just absolutely a delightful ride and all the different kinds of animals that can come into your dreams. So very fun and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. I thought you'd find it moving. And Bobby, what did you think?
Oh, this was a delightful bit of whimsy. Very imaginative, very clever. I love the wordplay. The odd combinations, a camel and a hare, a deer and a kangaroo, and an aardvark and an elephant. Great assonance also. Just a really, really fun piece of writing. And I said, "I'll pack up my bags." Very clever. I really enjoyed it.
Great comment. Thank you, Bobby. And Martha, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I really liked it. It was a delight to read, and I loved all the animals incorporated in it, and I especially loved the ending. I thought that was really cute.
Absolutely. Thank you, Martha. Okay, Bobby, you're up next to read, please.
All righty. Let's see. And we have No Spring Chicken. My grandmother used to say that all the time. Okay, we have Stan Holiday, No Spring Chicken. I was already getting old the year they first made dirt. And on that day, so clear and cold, some of it soiled my clean shirt. So I saddled up my dinosaur to go down to the new formed river where a dry ravine was before. The icy water made me shiver. The first crow egg had just hatched out. Yep, the egg came before the crow. And the first redwood was a mere sprout. It had just begun to grow. The ocean water had no salt because it was pure Sandino piss. Not below. The earth was smooth without a fault, although I'd not swear to this. I watched the whales learn how to swim, basked in polar sun ere it turned cold. Ozymandias? Yes, I knew him. I reckon that I'm getting old. And home.
Yeah, you're as old as dirt, older than dirt. I liked it, you know. I liked to really like the beginning. I was already getting old this year, the year they first made dirt. And on that day, so clear and cold, some of it soiled my clean shirt. You know, you can picture all that as he writes it out there. And then the ocean had no water to salt. Ocean water had no salt because it was pure Sandino piss. A note below, the earth was smooth without a fault, although I'd not swear to this. Yeah, just a fantastic poem. Very enlightening. What did you think, Pam?
I enjoyed this. It had clever lines all the way through. I like that it makes fun of being older than dirt. I really particularly liked the first crow egg had just hatched out. Yep, the egg came before the crow, and the first redwood was a mere sprout. It had just begun to grow. So really fun lines and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Bobby, what did you think?
Oh, I enjoyed this. It is very like Pam said. It makes fun. It's a self-deprecating piece. It makes fun of getting older, which we all do if we're very lucky. But the parallels it draws about being born before dirt was made and saddling up his dinosaur. And it is a charming little piece, great wordplay, and a very delightful rhyming pattern. It was fun to read.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bobby. And Martha, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I thought it was great. I loved the rhyme and
the way it flowed, and I just love the cute little things, like the first crow egg had just hatched out, yet the egg came before the crow. But it was really well done.
Thank you, Martha. I appreciate that. Okay, I'm going to post the next poem here. And this is called The Cockroach by Kraskaz. And it's Ode to the Cockroach. Snacking on a bag of chips, a funny feeling passed my lips. I don't think that's a chip at all. I think it's moving. Yes, a crawl. A cockroach with its special flavor, one I did not wish to savor. Too late, though. I crunched him dead. These extra treats. I don't need bed. I spit him out. The taste was stuck. Figures, this was just my luck. Forever etched in my mind, the way he squirmed, that fateful grind. So now I always check my sack to look for goodies it might pack. Some things, I say, were best without, like bees inside the water spout. We all agree we'd all get by, never swallowing a fly. Still, nothing else can make us gag like cockroaches in the munchie bag. End poem. I thought that was a fantastic write on the subject of eating a cockroach accidentally. Get out of here. I'd spit that out faster than I could even think. I don't think I could think fast enough before spitting that thing out. It's a fantastic poem on the subject of eating a cockroach accidentally. Very humorous. Pam, what did you think?
Oh, this cracked me up. It's funny all the way through. Oh, my gosh. I tell you, after reading, I've never checked my chip bags for cockroaches, but I think after reading this poem, I'm going to start doing that. I did really like that third stanza and then the final line. Still nothing else can make us gag like roaches in the munchie bag. Oh, my gosh. Great twisted humor and very well done.
Absolutely, yeah. Thank you, Pam. And Martha, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think it's something I would never have ever thought to write a poem about, but it's really great. It makes you cringe at the part where he bites into the cockroach, but it's really well done, and I love the ending.
Absolutely. Thank you, Martha. I appreciate that. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
It's repulsive thinking about accidentally eating a bug. I really hate cockroaches. They're really a problem down in the South. I remember standing duty one night, and I saw something flying around in the overhead, and that's when I was reminded that cockroaches can fly. And I think he was a decoy, because while I was watching the cockroach flying around the ceiling, a fire team of them came out of the radiator and carried off the sugar bowl.
Yeah. Absolutely. Thank you, Bobby.
And I was reminded of that when I heard this one.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to post the next poem here. All right,
hey,
here we go. Just
so you know, Lou is on with us.
Welcome to the show, Lou.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Hi, Martha, Bobby, Pam. Let's see, Gray. I know Phil. I saw Phil on there somewhere. Thank you for picking me up, everybody. I was grossed out with that poem. That just, ugh.
you
step on a cockroach and... Yeah, I hate the way they crunch, and I can't imagine if I bit into one. That would just freak me out. Ugh. Gross.
All right. Well, thank you for calling in, Lee. Appreciate it. Okay, so I've got this first poem. It's by Lowell.
Truth be told, or maybe not, a poem by Lowell. Miss Piggy and Pinocchio were going on a date. Miss Piggy said, "Pinocchio, you better not be late. I chose you for my Valentine, you lucky so-and-so. Just tell me that I'm wonderful, and love will surely grow." Pinocchio, a nervous boy, had trouble with the truth, but did his best to be sincere and offered up his sooth. The words quite plump jumped from his mouth, too fast for him to hide, and ducked the punch that flattened him. Oh, how he wished he'd lied. "Miss Piggy, may I please explain? By plump I mean you're lean. Like when you say someone is sick, it really means you're keen. You're so darn fine this Valentine, you've got me all aglow." And suddenly, though right on cue, his nose began to grow. Pinocchio, in panic mode, reached out for her trotter, but pulled too quick to stab her eye, poking good and proper. The moral of this little tale is love can make one blind when telling Porky's to a pig instead of being kind. And Paul.
And then she has in her author's notes, telling Porky's is telling lies. That was a fantastic read and an excellent write. Very entertaining. You know, you can picture all this as it happens. And poor Pinocchio, I say. Beautiful write, excellent read. What did you think, Pam?
I really enjoyed this. It was a great read. She always has a wonderful reading voice. I like when people take classic characters and unexpected combinations. Like, I never would have thought of Miss Piggy and Pinocchio together. So that was very clever. And, of course, you know, the ending was clever. But I really liked Pinocchio was a nervous boy, had trouble with the truth, but did his best to be sincere and offered up his sooth. The words quite plump jumped from his mouth too fast for him to hide and duck the punch that bled in him. Oh, how he wished he'd lied.
Yeah.
Just wonderful, wonderful, clever lines and very well done.
Absolutely. Thank you, Pam. Martha, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I thought it was great. It was almost like watching a cartoon. You could just see it all as it happened, and it was just really good. I loved it all the way through.
Absolutely. Thank you, Martha. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
I really enjoyed that the piece was flavored with cultural humor. It takes it in a different direction. It forces us to learn something new. And I love that the author put notes in her AN that let us know that sick was cool. I knew what a trotter was, but telling Porky's is something I never knew. So I was very I was charmed by the cultural humor, and it rang pretty much like Edward Lear in the way it was written. It had the beautiful rhythm to it and the wonderful language.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bobby. And Louie, what are your thoughts?
Well, you know, Lil, I love her voice in reading poetry. I also love her humor. You know, when people write from different countries, we get a different flavor on, and in the United States and other countries, I would imagine, you know, these stories that we've heard all our lives since we were children. And, you know, I really got a big kick where, you know, he was getting nervous. And when you get nervous, some people, when they get nervous, they say things they don't mean to say. You know, and he tells her, "You're so damn fine this Valentine. You've got me all aglow." And suddenly, though right on cue, his nose began to grow. And then, of course, you know, he reached out for her foot, and because he had been lying, his nose, I would have never thought of that. He was trying to reach for her foot to comfort her, but his nose from lying is so long it pokes her in the eye. It was original story to the original take to the old stories we heard all our life.
Absolutely, yeah. Thank you, Dean.
Sorry, I'm going to be muting because I'm coughing. Thank you.
Okay, you're up next to Reed. Hello, Reed. Are you able to read?
Yeah, I'm trying to get it to load up because it's not loading up. Okay. This poem is written by Denda, and it's called, oh my goodness, hope I can read this, Dunluton. Old sea dogs don't retire, you know, but most can't stay at sea. Their bunks are need for fresh crews the way that it must be. So here at our old guest house called Dunluton by the bay, they got a cabin of their own to while the days away. The Jolly Roger flies outside our oak brass-studded door, a stand for swords and cutlass, a dip tray for the gore. The oohs and ahs are uttered as we tour the narrow halls. They spot the antique treasure maps that hang upon the wall. They move a bit more slowly now. The barnacles won't shift. Peg licks can be a problem, so we installed a new lift. The cabins all have hammocks and a chest to store their loot, a bucket to wash off the salt, a locker for their boots. At times it gets rowdy here. They knock back lots of grog. The table manners are unique. They're colorful seedlit dogs. After eating, they sit back and raise their goblets high. They parley and sing shanties till the grog pot has run dry. Avast, ye all me buckles, hell away and ship ahoy. Put down those comely wrenches. Come aboard, me hearted boys. For bound for foreign waters, way across the rolling Ogden, the treasure's out there, so I'm told. So stop your scurvy quarfing. At night they snore and dream of days, becalmed on high seas, their galleons all at full sail, just waiting for a breeze. A parrot on each shoulder, oh, such treasure they had stole, big bonuses for loyal crew and Dublin's in the hold. It's time they abandon ship. Landlubbers they'll become, their grog and salt run in their veins, along with ale and rum. At least they have fellow tars to sup with and to brag, exchanging tales of derring do of Keyhaulin and swag. Our rates are fair, we take doubloons and plunder for their keep. The council pays us well to keep them off the streets. We let them dig out the grounds. X marks the spot, it seems. A treasure mat in every rune. Let them relive their dreams. No barley, lay card, or Amex here. Our currency, hard cash. Belaying pens enforce our rules. Comely or face the lash. No tricorns to the worn indoors, regardless of your rank. And if a guest should mutiny, we'll make them walk the plank. End poem.
That was a very animated read, Lee. Beautifully done. You really brought life to the poem. And what a wonderful poem it is. It's fairly long, but beautiful in its descriptive nature. Really pulls you through this retirement home for old wayward sea dogs. And, yeah, I thought it was a beautiful poem. Excellently written. Well read to you. Pam, what did you think?
Well, I thought this was, first of all, wonderful read there, Lou. I love the way you put in the little bit of the pirate growl. and just, I like the title, Dunluton, and that was just fun in itself. Great rhyme and flow. Wonderful pirate references, like the reference to the grog and the peg legs can be a problem, so we installed a new lift. The cabins all have hammocks and a chest to store their loot. Avast ye all, me buckles, haul way and ship ahoy. You know, there's some really fun, you know, classic pirate humor. all the way through and very well done.
Well said. Thank you, Pam. And Martha, what are your thoughts?
Well, I thought it was great. It was wonderful the way it answered the question, what happens to old pirates? I thought it was great. The humor and the wordplay was just excellent.
Great comment, Martha. Thank you. And Bobby, what did you think?
I thought it was quite imaginative. Everything of what happens if they live that long, do pirates retire? The nautical references throughout were wonderfully threaded through there. It was great storytelling. It tells you a great story with lots of humor in it. The rhyming is wonderful. It is a delightful piece. Very, very imaginative.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bobby. And Louie, what did you think?
Oh, I thought it was a fantastic poem. The storytelling, all the pirate references, it was just wonderful. And I really got a big kick that she says that the reason they have all those treasure maps all over the place is to let them still live their dreams after they stop being real pirates and become landlubbers. And it says the local councils pay us well to keep them off the streets. I got a big kick out of that. Great storytelling.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment, Louie. Thank you. And Pam, you're up next to read, please.
Okie dokie, Smokey. All right. This is Boy, What a Lady by Wayne McLellan. And it goes like this. I saw her sitting on a crowded train, a beautiful face in a perfect frame, with oriental features and flawless skin. Was this superficial, or was there beauty within? She caught me looking, and to my surprise, she smiled and looked directly into my eyes. I felt transfixed, and my heart took thought. Is this what that they mean by love at first sight? As the train slowly emptied, we drew together. I said hello, and I mentioned the weather. We alighted the train and continued to chat. We talked about interests and this and that. We both skipped work and went to a cafe. I had a mochaccino. She had a latte. She gave me her number, and I did the same. The more that we talked, the closer we came. We left holding hands and arranged a date. That very same night, we couldn't wait. And as we parted, we embraced and kissed. I found that her presence I already missed. Later that evening, we went for a walk, then sat in a bar and continued to talk. I kissed her goodnight at her front door, not presuming to think that I expected more. She asked if I'd come in for a drink. The flat smelled of roses and everything pink. We opened some wine and continued to chat. We flirted and kissed by the fire in her flat. She said as a child she was always neglected, feeling unloved, alone, and rejected. Unfortunately, her family didn't understand, and that's why she left her home in Thailand. Taking my hand, she led me to her bed with feelings of lust and wine in my head. She lowered her dress, and I stood to erection, her exquisite shape and flawless perfection. She removed her bra, her breast stood proud. Removing her undies, she then turned around. I sat in amazement, my mind ran amok. Instead of a lady garden, she had a huge and poem.
Oh, my. Wow. Well, you know, your time was spiraling out of control at the very end. That was just fantastic. Beautiful read, Pam. But yeah, what a tragic poem. You know, somebody gets all set up like this and then has it blown away at the very end. Yeah, haunting. What did you think, Martha?
I thought it was great. The setup for the ending was just perfect, and it drew you right into the very end, and it was just like a slap in the face at the end.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Martha. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
It reminded me of a song from the late 60s, early 70s. Oddly enough, the group was called The Kinks, and the song was Lola. And
yeah.
I believe toward the end of the song is I know what I am. I'm a man, and so is Lola. Very, very creative, wonderfully imaginative, and it just, again, wonderful storytelling leads you all the way down to the very end.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bobby. And Lee, what did you think? Hello, Lee.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I really
like
the title. The title is actually a hint to what's going to happen, but you don't get it till you read through the whole poem. Boy, what a lady. You never know where you're going to find love, you know. Surprise!
Absolutely. Thank you, Lee. Great comment. Mm-hmm. And Pam, what are your thoughts?
Well, I knew there had to be a punchline at the end. I knew there was going to be something big at the end because as I was reading, I kept thinking in my head, this isn't really that funny. There's got to be something at the end. And sure enough, there was. But just as funny as that ending and the buildup was great when you commented and called it a tragedy. It's like all of a sudden I just saw the disappointment in your face that there wasn't a lady garden.
Absolutely. No doubt. Thank you, Pam. Okay, Martha, you're up next, please.
Okay. Notice Me by Random Scribbler. Hey, my pet, how am I looking? Oh, my pet, simply smashing. What about the fit? It's a total hit. Color combination? She's like God's creation. Makeup, what say? Flawless, I say. Do the accessories match? Oh, you are such a catch. Will the shoes do? No one chooses better than you. Listen, my bunny, what is it, honey? Could you please keep the phone aside? Why keep it aside? Because you are not attentive. Who says so? I am quite attentive. See properly, what am I wearing? Well, hell, what are you wearing? Yep, a bathrobe, you silly old. End poem.
Beautiful read. And that was humorous, you know, this conversation between a couple where, you know, she's looking for compliments and he is happy to oblige. And then he's in a bathrobe at the end. I thought it was just a wonderful write. Excellent read. What did you think, Bobby?
And I think it takes what I think is a stereotypical conversation. It's a hot, you know, how do I look? And the person who answers that doesn't even look up from his newspaper. He just goes, "Oh, you look wonderful, honey." Okay, great. What am I wearing? And it's unfortunately we fall into complacency. And we don't notice the details that used to fascinate each other in the beginning. And I think it takes that situation and kind of stands it on its head and gives it a very humorous side.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bobby. And Lee, what are your thoughts?
I thought Martha did a fantastic read in this. You know, and this is the problem that we have today with cell phones. You know, they were even talking about that parents don't even pay attention to their kids and they put up pictures to show what was going on. You know, in the first stanza, like everybody's bringing out, she starts questioning him. And then, you know, she's in a bathrobe, so she knows he's not looking at her. And then she asks him again the second stanza, the third stanza, And then she says, okay, you need to put your phone down. And so she says, you know, she asked him, you know, what he's wearing. She goes right back to it. And, you know, she tells him, well, you're lying because I'm in a bathrobe and I'm not all decked out like you think I am. You know, this is, it's funny, but it's at the same token, it just shows our modern society right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Leah. And Pam, what are your thoughts? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did enjoy his use of back and forth conversation, and I like that it does take something that we've looked at before, like the stereotypes of both sexes, and does look at a serious subject, but does do it in a humorous way, and then the whole idea of the realization that he's been complimenting everything, and all she's wearing is a bathrobe. Really just absolutely wonderful, funny, and very well done.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Pam. And Martha, what are your thoughts?
I really liked it. I thought it was a great way to humorously point out a flaw in our society, and I thought it was really well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Martha. Okay, I have the next poem up. It's called Pigeon Woes by Lynn Guti, and she has a SoundCloud.
I'd like to point out that this short poem is in the shape of a pigeon, which may not be obvious if you're not looking at the poem and you're just hearing my voice. It's called Pigeon Woes. Pigeon, scavenger, freedom seeker, in full flight, wingspan stretched across blue skies, a peaceful glide on summer sunlit breezes, in harmony with laws of universal energy, surfing and soaring all day long, then resting on his pigeon toes.
That was cute. You know, you can see it all as she reads through it. The pigeon scavenger, freedom seeker in full flight, wingspan stretched across blue skies, beautiful glide on the summer sunlit breezes. You know, you can picture all that as she reads it, and I thought it was well done. Excellent write, excellent read. Pam, what did you think?
Well, I really enjoyed that she did shape this in the shape of the pigeon, and you know, they're just such funny looking little birds. You know, it makes me smile just to you know, think about them, you know, walking around on the sidewalk. You know, I like how she describes the pigeon, and I particularly like the line, a peaceful glide on summer sunlit breezes in harmony with laws of universal energy. Clever and very well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Pam. Okay. And Martha, what did you think?
I really liked it. I thought it was a really great way to picture a pigeon besides the way we think about them. I thought it was really good and very well done.
Great comment. Thank you. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
Pam said, I like the way it's artfully shaped, the format. I really loved the wordplay at the end. Surfing and soaring all day long, and then resting on his pigeon toes. I really enjoyed that, the double entendre.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bobby. And Lee, what are your thoughts?
Well, I really enjoyed this. You, like everybody said, you can see the shape of the pigeon, and she starts describing a pigeon life, and you know, and especially when they get to the pink toes, you can't help but just smile. I really like the ending too, like everybody else.
Wonderful comment, thank you. Do you? Okay, Pam Ray, you're next, please.
All right. Just so everybody understands, slightly understands this poem, I wrote it to this. Rocky Horror is owned by Fox. Fox was bought out by Disney. Dr. Frankenfurter is now an evil Disney queen. And with that being said, this is an evil queen, and it goes like this. I'm just so very fabulous. I'm an evil Disney queen. With my strut and hot, hot buns, I will steal every scene. I love all my creations kept like proper pets. You think you know what evil is. You don't know nothing yet. I love my leather like my soul, oh, so very black. And when my playthings start to drown, my butler hangs them on the rack. I'm fun and I am wicked, a modern-day fox, a freaky bit of naughty with a key for every lock. Now Beauty, she is sleeping, and Snow, well, she is dead. So bring your fine arse over here to the thoughts inside my head. Some say I am a bit too much. What can I say? I have eclectic taste. And darling, you should know, I never let a kielbasa go to waste. I don't worry about being polite like those dolled-up Disney twerps. I made the beast into meatloaf, and last year's appliances are doing the time warp. Now I'm going to whisper something in your ear. Cross my heart and hope Belle dies. There's nothing here to fear. I love to sweat profusely. Sweet, sexy precipitation. But most of all, I like. Wait for it. Wait. That's right, my pet. Keep on waiting. I like. No, I love to create anticipation. So, Your Highness, you can have your mermaid when you crave the taste of fish, but you come to my place when you want more meat stacked upon your dish. You thought you wanted a princess, but, honey, it's time to face the facts. You've had a taste of an evil queen, and there ain't no going back. End poem.
Well, that was a fantastic read and an excellent write, Pam. So, very descriptive, and you know, it pulls you through the whole poem with ease. You know, you're just drawn into the next line, until finally you've had a taste of an evil queen, and there ain't no going back. Yeah, no, this is a beautiful poem, Pam. Excellent parody.
Thank you.
I really loved it.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Martha, what did you think?
Oh, I really liked it. I think it was great the way it rhymed and flowed, and I love the way you took the sweet Disney princess and turned it into the poem about an evil Disney queen. It was really great and very well done.
Thank you, Martha.
Absolutely. Bobby, what did you think?
Well, this was delightful. Very, very imaginative. I love, Pam, the way you took something as wholesome as Disney and were able to pervert it into something absolutely delicious. I really love that. even Disney can be set on its ear. It was great storytelling, too. For anyone who's familiar with both the Disney princesses and Tim Curry character in Rocky Horror, a wonderful hybridization here. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Great comment. Thank you. And Louie, what do you think?
Well, I got to say, Pam's done it again. She's so very clever. I love how you twisted the bright princesses from Disney to the queen of Rocky Horror. And I've got to say, my favorite stanza, I mean, I was just smiling so wide. I don't worry about being polite like those dolled up Disney twerps. I made the beast into meatloaf, and last year's appliances are doing the time warp. Okay, I was just original and clever and thoroughly enjoyable.
Thank you, Lou.
Absolutely. Would you like to say anything about your poem?
Oh, yeah? I'm not really much. I had fun writing it. So, and thank you for doing a humor show and inspiring the thought to go look for something humorous to write to. So, thank you.
Absolutely. Yes, no problem. Thank you. Okay, Martha, I have yours up, and you have a recording, so I will play that.
No Demons in Hell by Martha Gettle. Politicians have always told us lies, but now they wear no disguise. Right out loud they say outrageous things, and so many people believe the song they sing. Now politicians have always taken bribes, now they grab that money in plain sight. They promise so much you never can deliver, then it's like, tough luck, cry me a river. There's no demons in hell, it's plain to see. They have all moved in next to you and me. No, they're not living in hell anymore. You can find them in the mansion next door. If the devil is a father of lies, you see, a lot of his kids can be found working in D.C. They are all multimillionaires and want more. Any moral compass, they kicked out the door. There's no devils in hell, it's plain to see. They've all moved in next to you and me. No, they're not living in hell anymore. You can find them in the mansion next door. Now we have someone just to check and see how many lies that one has told to you and me. Things are not the way they used to be before. There's no shame in lying to the people anymore.
No, that was a wonderful singing job, Martha. And, you know, the song itself is it's poetic in its delivery, but, you know, it speaks to the truth of the matter as far as being surrounded by demons that are living next door in mansions and stuff. Yeah, I thought it was a wonderfully written poem, fantastically delivered. Excellent job, Martha.
Thank you.
And Pam, what are your thoughts?
I really enjoyed this one. I remember when I heard it before, and it's one of those that's worth hearing again. It's got that nice biting humor that takes a look at the way, you know, that people lack in morals, especially in the political world. And I particularly like, there's no demons in hell, it's plain to see, they have all moved next to you and me. Now, and then if the devil, he is the father of lies, you see, a lot of his kids could be found working in D.C. Like I said, great biting, great dark humor, and very well done.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pam. I mean, yes, thank you, Pam. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
I really enjoyed the reference to kids, the devil's kids can be found working in D.C. as I live right down the road from that Puzzle Palace. And, it's the only place I've ever been in the world where politics is an industry. I love the satire in this. Quite clever, quite edgy. I'm delightfully surprised that Martha has a very satirical streak there. She just now showed it to us, and I think this is wonderful, and I hope to hear more like this from Martha.
Thank you.
A great comment. Thank you, Bobby. And Louie, what are your thoughts?
Well, I thought, Martha, I really enjoyed this because she took everything that's going around a society and she put it to music. And it's funny because, you know, politicians have always taken bribes. Now they grab the money in plain sight. And it's amazing how, you know, people believe the malarkey that they're dishing out. And, you know, I can't understand why poor people throw money at super rich people. I just, you know, it's just amazing. And what you did was you put this in a satire, you know, with what we're all living with today. And I just enjoyed it immensely. Caught everything that's going on. Excellent poem. Excellent singing, excellent lyrics.
Well, I listen to politics all the time, so I had a lot of material.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, thank you, Martha. Thank you, everybody, for the wonderful comments. Bobby, you're up next.
Oh, dear. Here we go. Okay, I got to find myself first. Here I am. Okay. This was done in response to a contest that, for rhyme and rhythm and rhyme. I think this was Pam and Intimidus Rex. So I dredged this one up. It's called "I Hate This Song," and it's inspired by the song "The Joker" by the Steve Miller Band. I recognize that damn melody within the very first note. I want to reach into the radio and grab the singer by the throat. There's just something about that song that drives me up the wall. I could happily take the bass player's guitar and beat it with a maul. The wording is ridiculous. The lyrics make no sense. The composer's knowledge of language is merely a pretense. The musicality of the band, my irritation does not allay, because every time I hear that word, I ask, what the hell is a pompous? Anyway, is a rock song the proper place to introduce a neologism? All I know is when I hear that word, it gives my nerves a tropism. And a gangster of love is still a criminal, a bloke outside the law, and all this lovey-dovey nonsense really sticks in my craw. His references to her peaches just seems so wrong and sick. I wish she'd take a branch from her shaken tree and beat him with the stick. I'm not a violent person. I know you think it's true. Song always sets my teeth on edge. So what am I to do? My aversion to this song, I think, really has no cure. But I know if I ever meet this Maurice guy, I'll throttle him for sure. Every time that tune comes on, I think, damn, I hate this wretched song. And even though it's really rather short, 3 minutes and 38 seconds is still too frigging long. End poem.
I loved it. That was beautifully done, Bobby. And I really like your author's notes where you explain neologism and the other one?
A mall is a large.
I really liked it. You know, you really hit the nail on the head with this one, you know, taking down of the song. Never looked at it this way, but I see your point of view for sure.
I really hate this song. This is genuine. I hate that song.
Yeah, that's funny. I love the song personally. I don't know why, but I do. But I've always wondered what pompous means as well.
Nothing.
But,
it's a nonsense word.
Yeah, because he speaks on the pompous of love. And, it's a beautiful write. And you did a fantastic job of the read as well, Bobby.
Thank you.
Yeah. Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, I enjoyed hearing this one again. It is, it's great humor, you know, and I think it's relatable. Like, we all have that butt song or song that we don't particularly like, and we question what the heck was this person thinking when they wrote this song. And every time it comes on, we are very quick to change the station or flip to another song or whatever we have to do. And this has some great lines. I did really like when you ask, what the hell is pompatus anyways? And the gangster of love is still a criminal bloke outside the law. And all this lovey-dovey nonsense really sticks in my craw. So just great lines here, Bobby. Great humor. And very well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Pam. And Martha, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I really loved it. I think it's great the way it flows. And I've heard songs that I listen to, and I think, man, if I couldn't write a better song than that, I wouldn't even bother. This is really great.
Well said. Thank you. Thank you, Martha. And Lou, what are your thoughts?
Well, you know what? I really love the intensity that Bobby read this, because now you really know that she hates this song. And, you know, to me, this is, you know, you got to remember, if you grew up in that time, there was booze, pot, drugs. So maybe that's what it was. He just slurred a word wrong. It says, because you really caught it here, the wording is ridiculous. The lyrics make no sense. The composer's knowledge of language is merely a pretense. And, you know, sometimes I listen to song, you know, usually I just listen to the music. But when you listen to the song and you listen to what they're actually saying, you're going, what is that? You know? Yeah, and you do. You do exactly what Pam says. You change the channel. You change the station.
Yes.
Because,
yes.
You know, I don't want to be questioning the music I'm listening to. Excellent. Excellent read. Excellent poem.
Thank you.
Wonderful comment, Leah. Thank you. Okay, so you're up next to read, please, Leah.
Okay, hold on. I got to refresh. Okay, I got it. By Scripto?
Yes.
Is that poet's face? Now I'm wondering, what am I going to read? Okay, Rhymer's Regret, number one, by Scripto. It began, as is often the case, as a thought that remained in my head, and despite my attempts to dislodge it, was still there as I slipped into bed. So I laid out my pens and notepad and plugged in my phone, as you do, turned up its face down to the limit, the blue light, and instantly needed the loo. My ablutions complete, I returned to my bed, but that thought once again being tapping my head from the side, so I reached for my notepad and pen. For a while I sat there in the blue light, I turned my phone over by now, trying hard to make sense of my mind fog, but aware of my furrowing brow. Half a smile on my face, I've been scribing my own name again and again. It's the one thing that everyone does when road testing a shiny new pen. All at once I was drawn to an old scent, but stronger than I'd known before. Eyelids tightened to heighten the senses. When I stirred, it was 20 to 4. A sense of unease sat me upright, a strong smell of ink filled the air. I appear to be sat in a black hole, sheets of paper strewn everywhere. My wits gathered, I'd clearly gone in the midst of a scribble to sleep. The ink had leaked out onto the bay. Boy, was I in trouble and deep. It was past 5 o'clock, windows open, all the bedding by now thrown away, now exhausted from scrubbing my legs and not relishing the thoughts of the day. When the surprise came, nagging reminders, what was it I had to do? It had to be done before bedtime and something about a review. My phone sprang to life as a message announced its arrival screen. Please give feedback on your recent purchase. And I knew that's where my mind had been. A superior pen, a fine purchase, and it will serve you right, so to speak. But remember to put the cap lock on. If you don't, there's a chance it will leak. Info.
That was a trying circumstance there for the guy. You know, he can't go to sleep because he's got this nibbling thought in his head that won't leave him alone. And then, you know, he falls asleep with the pen in his bed and wakes up to it all over his duvet. And then, you know, he's It's just past five. It was just past 5 o'clock. Windows open. All the bedding by now is run away. Now exhausted from scrubbing my legs, and not just relishing the thought of the day. Yeah, you know, when you start your day off that way, it's definitely tough. And I thought it was a beautiful pen by Scripto. What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, I enjoy Scripto's poetry. This is a wonderful rhyme and flow, great humor. I do like how it's that whole exaggeration of what happens when you get ink all over the place. Like you could just picture him sitting in the middle of this giant black hole of ink. You know, I like how it's all about that brain fog we get until all of a sudden it hits us in the face, that what we forgot, and it's like, oh, shoot. So excellent, fun humor, right, and very well done.
Absolutely. Thank you, Pam. Martha, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I thought it was great. I love the rhyme and the flow, and I could definitely relate to the message. I thought it was really good, really funny, and very well done.
Well said. Thank you, Martha. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
This was a delightful bit of hyperbole. I think we've all had our encounter with the pen that when our eyes are not on it, decides to pee all over us and leave ink everywhere except where it belongs, in the pen and on the paper. And it's worse when you've been chewing on it and discover you have ink all over your hands, all over your face. And unfortunately, this poor fellow found himself asleep in it. So and the storytelling was just marvelous, because you were along for the ride with him and his pen, his misbehaving pen. So I think on the whole, his review of the pen was quite kind.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Bobby. Great comment. Lou, what did you think?
Well, this was thoroughly enjoyable. I enjoyed reading it. I enjoyed the storyline. You know, this is like a poet's nightmare insomnia where we can't sleep because something's nagging us. And, you know, I liked how, it was so lifelike. You know, any one of us, this could have happened to. And, you know, then at the end, it's, you know, he's like, you know, in this type of dreamlike state when you're half asleep, but you're not asleep. And then he finds out, you know, when his phone goes off, when it's getting close to morning, you know, that that's what he has forgotten to do. To, you know, to write a review, and I got a big kick out of that.
Absolutely. Thank you, Lee. Okay, I've got the next write up here. This is Bull Rush by David Meyerhoff. I will overwhelm you with my dazzle, not take no for an answer. Let subtlety take a back seat at the corner dump. Sheer, raw power of the linebacker, mowing down all in his path. The lineman bugs overgrown grass, opening the angle to the quarterback. L.A. Rams meet Cincinnati Bengals. Welcome to the party in the heavenly castle of the mundane. Contradictions are straightaways. Smooth is jagged, and the linoleum floor is a rough tarp. If you're hungry for dainties, the pastries are next door. Here it's the raw meat, set oven to zero. Don't like the menu? I'm not fond of your attire. Deal with it. If you are looking for the school choir, you, sir, are in the wrong zip code, area code, whatever. We are not here to mince words, but to mince meat. Chop up the enemy. Let him chew cabbage. Why? Because I'm not fond of cabbage. Chew on that. LOL. That was funny. You know, I would say it's a bull rush when you're plowing through life like that. It speaks to the power of the football game as well, and what you're going to get when you are there. I thought it was beautifully crafted. What did you think, Martha?
thought it was really good. I love the whole poem. It was a really masculine poem. I don't want to know a lot about football, but I enjoyed the poem. It was really good.
Thank you, Martha. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
The title is very clever because bull rush is actually football technique. A pass rushers, including the linemen, will try to beat the blockers that are protecting the quarterback. And I thought that naming the poem after a football maneuver was quite clever. And he really definitely, this poem just oozes testosterone. it's definitely, this is my Sunday, and I'll watch what I want. I want to watch football. It's a very clever piece. And I did notice that this is the first piece that has been read that actually didn't rhyme.
Wow. There you go. Thank you, Bobby. And Lee, what are your thoughts?
Well, I enjoy this. You know, it just brought me right back to the Super Bowl and everything. I really liked, what was it he said? He says, you know, if you're hungry for dainties, the pastries are next door. Here it is, raw meat that, oven to zero. You know, it's just like, you know, Bobby was talking about a lot of testosterone, a lot of things going on.
That's really well said. Thank
yep.
you. Thank you, Lee. And Pam, are you back? No, she's not back yet. Okay, Martha, I'm going to have you read the next poem, please.
Okay. Blow Your Mind by Weaver of Dreams. Sex and drugs and rock and rave. Let's get mashed and misbehave. On speed and weed and little ease. Let's get tanked and talk to trees. Life's a trip and then you die. So feck them all and let's get high.
Well, you did a wonderful job reading that, Martha. And,
thank you.
This speaks to you. Yeah, this speaks to you, Appalachia High. And I thought it did it brilliantly in this little brevity. Excellent write, excellent read. Bobby, what are your thoughts?
I think hearing Martha read it only made it funnier. It's like saying, what are you going to do this weekend, Grandma? And your grandma looks and says, I think I'll get stoned. You know? Emphasis of this, and to hear you read this was just exquisite. I enjoyed your read, and I enjoyed the piece.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bobby. Lee, what did you think?
Can you hear me, Greg?
Yes.
I thought Martha did a fantastic job in reading this. You look at the picture, and then you try to see what the person's going to write, and they did a fantastic storytelling job here. He says sex and drugs and rock and rave. Let's get smashed and misbehave. I mean, this is just wonderfully rhymed, wonderfully read, wonderfully descriptive.
Well said. Thank you, Lee. And Martha, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I loved it. I thought it was really cool. I like the references to talk to trees and life's a trip and then you die. I really enjoyed it. It was really good.
Well said. Thank you, Martha. Okay, since Pam's back, I'm going to have her read the next one.
All right.
Thank you, Pam.
Yep. Lenten sacrifice, Paul Brock, and it goes like this. My Lenten sacrifice has begun. Abstination hasn't been much fun. I gave up meat but found this treat, bacon-flavored chewing gum. The package read, it's fine for vegans. It actually comes from maple seasoned. sampling this, I couldn't resist soothing my carnivorous regions. My Catholic wife thought this contrite a way around my sacrifice. Are you abstaining or simply faking? Good Lord Almighty, you reek of bacon. And poem.
Yeah, you know, I'm not too sure what Lenten sacrifice is, but it's obviously a religious sacrifice of some sort. Oh, no. It's a spiritually motivated, voluntary renunciation of pleasure, of luxury, of most Christians give up the observance of Lent, which starts on Ash Wednesday. I see. But no, this is the Bible's poem about abstination and then, you know, finding a synthetic product to match the product that you're missing. And, yeah, I thought it was well done. What did you think, Martha?
I thought it was great. It was really about, you know, finding some way to get around something you really didn't want to do in the first place and getting caught in the act. I thought it was really good. Very funny.
Thank you, Martha. And Bobby, what did you think?
I thought this was very clever. Being a recovering Catholic, I know exactly what he's talking about. I like the last stanza. My Catholic wife thought this contrite a way around my sacrifice. Are you abstaining or simply bacon? Good Lord Almighty, you reek of bacon. It's a beautiful brevity. It's beautifully rhymed, and it is great storytelling. Very economically told.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Bobby. And Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, this definitely made me laugh. I like the way he tries to find his way around, you know, that giving up meat for the holiday. And the package read, it's fine for vegans. It actually came from Maple Season. And the whole thing, just absolutely, absolutely delightful and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. That was a great comment. Okay, I'm going to post the next link. And this is by Wayne Agent, and he has a SoundCloud. So we'll play that.
So they came to a spot they had never been to before in their lives. Once again, they were to sleep by a large fire, and their parents were to come and fetch them in the evening. When noon came, Gretel shared her bread with Hansel, because he had scattered his along the way.
Hansel lost track of the small pieces of bread. He was thinking about the Boy Scout book he read. Remember the chapter about the survivor when lost? He thought he wished he had the money that it cost. The book said, remember, you can live off seed. And if things get bad, don't be scared to eat weed. Hansel told Gretel to look for some fresh weed leaves. He knew she would, because she always believes. Gretel found a lot, and in her mouth, she put a few. As she went along, looking for more, she would slowly chew. Hansel looked around and didn't see Gretel anywhere. At first, he got mad, because he thought she wouldn't share. Then he heard Gretel laughing and singing a song. He was puzzled because he thought she was gone. Then he looked up, and there Gretel was up in a tree. Hansel was wondering why Gretel was so happy. Gretel climbed down laughing and said, here, chew this. Hansel chewed some weed and gave Gretel a kiss. They were both giggling and walking the trail. Hansel said he should get some weed to sell. Wasn't long till they had the munchies and wanted to eat. They were tripping and saw a house that looked so sweet. Gretel didn't believe and said, take a bite. You go first. Hansel grabbed a chunk, took a bite, and said he had worse. As they ate, out came a baker with a large knife. She was mad as hell and threatened her life. Hansel, thinking quick, said, can you put some weed in treats? She cursed and said, I'll mix it with some fresh beets. As she baked, Gretel fell asleep and had some wild dreams. Hansel got busy making a topping with a couple of creams. When they were done, Betty Baker and Hansel were so proud. They loaded up and went to sell them in a crowd. It was about noon the next day when it said sold out. They divided the money and stopped to look about. Both were amazed. There was nothing but happiness and laughter. Hansel and Gretel went home to tell and lived happily ever after. And?
Well, that's a twist on Hansel and Gretel for sure. I really liked it. You know, it takes you through this journey with the Hansel and Gretel and finding wheat to eat and getting stoned on it. And I thought it was just a fabulous write with excellent rhyme and rhythm. What did you think, Pam?
I have to agree. Wonderful rhyme and rhythm. I really enjoy it when somebody takes a fairy tale and gives it a twist, puts some dark humor in there. And the whole idea of Hansel and Gretel coming across that weed house or getting high and then coming across the candy house and having the munchies, you know, just a great write all the way through and very well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Pam. And Martha, what are your thoughts? Hello, Martha?
I'm here. I'm on mute again. I really loved it. I thought it was really well done. I loved the rhyme and the flow of it. And the humor was just great. It was really a joy to listen to.
Well said. Thank you, Martha. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
Very, very, very creative. It's almost a burlesque of a classic classic fairy tale, Hansel and Gretel. He parodies the story wonderfully, and it takes it in a very unexpected direction. Like Pam, I like when people take something traditional and set it on its ear. And he does quite well with this piece.
Great comment, thank you. And Lee, what did you think?
I thought this was very creative. I loved this storytelling and remake of Hansel and Gretel. I loved all the laughing and the singing and the giggling. You know, because you can actually see that happening. And, you know, like Pam brought out, you know, the munchies and then, of course, the Wicked Witch that's in the house, she ends up being a baker. And so, you know, I was looking at the picture. They got a basket full of greens. And so I thought, oh, that was fantastic. So I just thought he did a fantastic job in doing this and remaking the story. It was thoroughly enjoyable.
Thank you, Lee. And did I get you, Bobby?
Yes, you did.
Okay, mm-hmm. Great. Thank you. Would you mind reading the next one, please, Bobby?
No, I wouldn't mind. We have Michelle H. giving us Hippo and I. The earth rumbles. The road crumbles as they made their journey down a treacherous trail, both of them round, making a thumping sound as he tried to flee fast from his hippo lover. She chased him down and tore off his gown, tried to salvage a ludicrous romance. Miss Hippo, named Dippo, couldn't say goodbye to her fat lover. End poem.
That was humorous, you know. You can picture all that as it goes through the storyline. You know, the earth rumbles, the road crumbles as they made their journey down a treacherous trail. Both of them round, making a thumping sound as he tried to flee fast from his hippo lover. And she chased him down, tore up his gown, like a savage, a ludicrous romance. And I liked her name was Dippo. Humorous for sure. Pam, what did you think?
I enjoyed this, and I like that she chose to take the liberty of rhyming hippo with dippo. That's such a wonderful thing to do. It just reminds me of Dr. Seuss and the way he'd create words just to have a rhyme. I also really liked the beginning, the earth rumbles, the road crumbles, as they made their journey down a treacherous trail. It just makes for a wonderful setup, and it's very well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Pam. And Martha, what did you think?
I thought it was really good. It also made me think of Dr. Seuss. A great story, and I love the rhyme of it. I thought it was really well done.
Wonderful comment, Martha. Thank you. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
It reminded me of the scene from the film, the animated feature, Madagascar, where the male hippo shows up and he looks at the girl hippo says, "You chunky." He's a like-em chunky. And that's what it reminded me of, the two hippos dancing around going, "Chunky, chunky, chunky, fluffy, fluffy, fluffy." I relived that whole scene with that poem there. It was very, very humorous.
Thank you, Bobby. And Lee, what are your thoughts?
I had to go and look to see what he wrote this for. There is a chubby man hauling his butt and a hippo chasing him from behind. And I loved how creative this was, saying that that the hippo was chasing him down, and just like you said, and tore up his gown to try and salvage a ludicrous romance. I thought this was very well written, and I would have never thought to have written something like this. It was hilarious.
Absolutely, thank you. Yeah. Okay, I've got the next poem here, and it's by me, Gray Eye Smith. And would you mind looking for another poem, ladies, please, and thank you?
Oh.
Well, I give this a read. And it's called One Channel on TV by Gray Eye Smith. When I was a kid, we had one channel on TV, so out to the streets for my sibling and me. From morning till twilight, we were to be out of sight. But sneaking back in and not getting caught were sheer delight. But oh my God, if we got caught, it was such a fright. Like deer in the headlights, it was such a plight. See, the consequence was real, such a big deal. Like a stuck pig, we would cry and squeal. See, we busted. See, to be busted meant we couldn't be trusted, and we were given a chore to learn not to do it anymore. Mom knew which chores I hated to do. Sometimes I even had to do two. So against my begging and wishes, Mom would make me do dishes. It seemed to take hours and hours, but I did not have dishwashing superpowers. Other times, I would have to vacuum the floor, though I admit, when I would get close, I'd bolt out the door, leaving the vacuum running as it lay on the floor. Although I did know my troubles would grow, when I came home, Dad would tell me so. Off came the leather belt, and trouble was felt. So to end my day, no supper would come my way. But neat the shine of the moon, Mom would bring food to my room, share a kiss and a hug at night to lessen my gloom. Out of my troubles, a well-lessoned man did bloom. End poem. Pam, what did you think?
I enjoyed this. It was wonderful, relatable humor. I like how, first of all, smart woman, your mom, knowing exactly which chores you didn't like to do. I think that's like a mom superpower. I like the way you told the story. I like the way that you brought up other times I would have to vacuum, though I admit when I could get so close, I'd bolt on the door, leaving the vacuum running as it lay on the floor. That part really cracked me up. Just an excellent write, Gray, and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. I appreciate that. Martha, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I really liked it. I thought it was great, the story of a boy learning life lessons, and it was done in a very humorous way, and it was a very enjoyable read.
Thank you, Martha. And Bobby, what did you think?
I love the anecdotal nature of it. It clearly, this has come out of your childhood. there was too mm-hmm. much wonderful attention to detail. And it's very self-deprecating, but it points out a commonality with all kids you know, we always end up having to do the chores that we absolutely hate. And you know, it's supposed to be for our own good. We can't be convinced of that at the time. But I really, really like the storytelling in this. This was wonderful.
Thank you, Bobby. And Leah, what are your thoughts?
You know, this this is a time in the past, you know, now kids get time out, okay, or give me your phone. You know, growing up, we had to do chores. We were punished with things we didn't want to do. And, and being kids, it would just take forever to get it done. And then if we know we didn't finish, you know, we knew Mom was going to tell Dad, and when Dad came home, that belt came out and, you know, got a couple of whippings with it. You know, something we got sent to the room without eating. But, you know, mothers having a big heart, even though they know we've done something wrong, they don't like to see their own kids suffer because they love them, and so she brought you snackies. So, excellent poem.
Leah. Thank you, Leah. Okay, Pam, I've got your write-up, if you don't mind, please.
All right. Well, I don't know how funny this write is, but it's amusing, I guess, in the own way. So this is Undressing a Bullet Bight in a Galaxy, and it goes like this. She's a geometric plethora balanced upon the gams of a dance hall heaven, the kick high and shimmy slide of petticoats undressing the creep of a galaxy, the extraordinary bite, the bullet of Bonnie next to her Clyde. She recognizes a split-thread visioned mind humping the camel's needle, honed in on self-privilege. And when you see her only as a pair of heels spreading the crow of a cock's morning rise, beware, because she's triangulating the point of entry and drawn the circumference of your chalk outline. You want her to be a notch in your bedpost, and she refuses to settle for whippet.
I like it. It was a beautiful read, Pam. But, you know, I really like your description. I mean, is it written off the picture as a prompt?
It is, yes. Yep.
Wow, you did an amazing job with that, Pam. Just a beautiful poem. You're full of this excellent imagery and detail. Great job. Martha, what did you think?
Thank you. I really liked it. I thought it fit the picture perfect and was great all the way through. And I especially liked the ending. It was really good.
Thank you, Martha.
Thank you, Martha. And Bobby?
I thought it was an inspired interpretation of that prompt. That I look at that, and my goodness, the visual imagery that Pam has given us here, and the storyline, all conjured from that simple illustration. I think that's it's marvelous, wonderfully creative. I could have come up with anything quite as detailed and intricate. It's a great piece of work.
Thank you.
Great comment. Thank you. And, Lee, what did you think?
Well, I thought Pam did a fantastic job in this, you know, the geometrics of it that she took, the sharp angles. You know, you can see it in her poetry. I really liked where you said a kick high is shimmy of side of petticoats, undressing the creation of a galaxy, the extraordinary bite the bullet of Bonnie next to her Clyde. Ah, just fantastic, Pam.
Thank you, Lou.
Great comment, thank you. And Martha, you're up next, please.
Okay. The flower car. My girlfriend got me a present the other day. When I saw it, I didn't know what to say. I know we need a car to get around, but in this, I'll look just like a freaking clown. The thing is the brightest green I've ever seen, and it's more like a nightmare, not like a dream. My buddies will laugh their heads off, I know, if I drive that green chick car where I go. And here is the most shocking part. To it, someone applied what they call art. From the roof on top to the wheels below, there are daisies everywhere you look, you know. Yellow daisies, they stick out like a sore thumb. I wonder where the hell this thing came from. It looks like something an old hippie would drive. Man, oh man, the guys are going to skin me alive. But my girlfriend, she was smiling at me. Man, I did not want to be mean. How could I tell her I'd rather take the bus or even drive around in an old bucket of rust? Those daisies were the brightest flowers I've seen. And man, oh man, that shade of green. I asked her where'd she find such a pretty car. She said she did not have to look very far. What she said next, it made me want to wail. The guy next door, he had it up for sale. It was all I could do to stand there in place as I imagined that shit-eating grin on his face. She said something that made me catch my breath. She said I did the paint job all by myself. I was between a rock and a hard place, you know. But I really felt I just couldn't let it show. Now I'm resigned to all the jokes and laughter. With the guys I know, they'll reach to the rafters. I just know they will all scream and shout when I take that flower car the next time I go out.
Wow, that was a fantastic read, Martha. And excellent engaging, right? You know, you can feel his trauma and his drama through it, right? And right up to the very last sentence. Like, I just know they will all scream up and about and shout when I take the flower car next time I go out. Yeah, hilarious, Martha. Beautiful job.
Mm-hmm.
Cam, what did you think?
Oh, this was great fun. It was wonderful to hear you read it. I really like how this guy is just kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place, you know. He realizes he's got to choose between not being embarrassed in front of his friends and making his lady happy, and he decides to choose making his lady happy. You know, just an awesome write all the way through. It's really wonderful to just see your sense of humor. Absolutely a delight. Very well done.
Well, thank you.
Great comment. Thank you. And Bobby, what did you think?
Oh, this was delightful. I really, great storytelling, very engaging. I mean, the visual imagery, I followed through this. I could see this poor guy with the car and trying to make his lady happy. Resigning himself to public humiliation just because he loves the girl. I mean, that's devotion. I mean, this is such great storytelling, Martha. I really, and you did such a superb job of reading. This wasn't a reading. That was a performance. I really, really enjoyed this piece. I love your sense of humor.
Oh, thank you.
Absolutely, yes. Thank you, Bobby. And Louie, what did you think?
Oh, Martha, this was so clever. I mean, this is like watching your next-door neighbor, you know, watching out the window what's going on. What do you do when you need a car, okay? You need a car, but you don't want to drive that car because, you know, he says, I'm going to look like a freaking clown. It says they're going to make fun of me. They're going to skin me alive. They see me driving around to this, but, you know, he loves her because she's smiling at him. Look, we got a car, and yay! And then all these yellow flowers are all over it, and it's green. You know, he said he'd rather take the bus. You know, this was hilarious because this is something that you could see actually happening.
Absolutely.
Great read, Martha.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Leah. Thank you, Martha. Okay, Bobby, I've got your poem up, please.
Okay, little light humor here. I'm going through my limerick writing phase. I grew up teething on them, so they're kind of like in my blood, in my DNA. There once was a fellow named Fred. There was a young fellow named Fred. Spouted verse while he stood on his head. He declared when he learned that his folks were concerned, "Don't you worry, I do it in bed." His family viewed all this with dread. "Please stop this odd practice," they pled. They feared his proclivity blocked his objectivity, and his sanity hung by a thread. He remarked that his folks had misread, and he was just thinking ahead. He claimed this activity would spark creativity, though his face would become cherry red. This unusual exercise led to imparting the thought he might wed. He soon after a time found a lass who penned rhymes and who stood upside down as she read. So his family set out a fine spread of crumpets and scones and warm bread with fresh jam in a pot as the two tied the knot. They were wed on their heads in the bed. Yes.
Beautiful read, Bobby. And, you know, that's a delightful poem about this fellow who has a proclivity of reading his poetry on his head. And then to meet somebody who does the same is just a beautiful thing. So excellent job. Great read.
Thank you.
And Pam, what did you think?
Well, first of all, these are just spot-on limericks. They have such a nice flow to them. It really was a delight to hear you read them. And I like that you took a humorous approach on the whole idea of being unique and knowing that there's someone just as unique out there. They with the same kind of quirks and just a perfect ending. So very well done, Bobby.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Pam. And Martha? What did you think?
I thought it was great. It totally made me think of Dr. Seuss. And I could just imagine sitting reading this to one of my granddaughters. They would just love it. It was a wonderful job.
Thank you.
Great comment. Thank you, Martha. And Lou, what did you think?
I thought this was brilliant. I thought Bobby was extremely clever. I was looking at the picture, and then she starts reading. You know, I didn't know where she was going to go with this. And then I really love where, he says that this unusual exercise led to imparting the thought he might wed. He soon after time found a lass who penned rhyme and who stood upside down as she read. And I said, oh, my God, how did she think of that? That is just so awesome. And then I love the ending. You know, this is wonderful, 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 Bobby.
Thank you.
I love
that. Thank you, Lou. And Bobby, would you like to say anything about your poem?
I've always had a fondness for limericks. I have a whole list of them if anyone wants to wander through them. And sometimes I will challenge myself, and the rhyming scheme obviously is A-A-B-B-A. And I will try and... that I did that with that actually has the same rhyme all the way through. It's A-A-B-B-A, A-A-B-B-A, and it's like five stanzas or six stanzas. But I've always loved them because I remember reading them in the back of the Classics Illustrated Junior comic books when I was a kid. And that was actually some of the first poetry I started memorizing were limericks. And I would recite them to my dad. And so I just love limericks. They take me back to my childhood.
Very cool. Well, I'd like to thank all you ladies for calling in tonight to share your hearts, your minds, your voices, and most especially your time. Much love, everybody.
Love you guys. Thank you. Excellent show, Greg.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Great show.
Good night,
everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.